And we are rejoicing because we are ready to have you join us for this afternoon journey here at Mater Dei Radio. We have a whole new group of volunteers. We have full bellies. We have had the most wonderful meal by Catering by Suzanne. She feeds us well every year. That's right. Thank you for that. And so we are ready to take on this incredible afternoon. Now, looking back, so far this share-a-thon, we're only 4 hours into this. We are hitting our goals. Now, we came up short one, but like we do in the Catholic Church, just someone else come along and lift us up and get us back to where we need to be. So we are so very excited that you are joining us for Mater Dei Radio's 2025 Fall Share-a-thon, Rejoice in Hope. Boy, we need this little afternoon break because we have got some work to do this afternoon. During these off hours, we did have some volunteers in here taking some pledges. People went online. Rolando is here with us, our new executive director, for his first share-a-thon. He's all excited. He's been skipping around the studio. We're like, now, Rolando, we got to pace ourselves. We got a long week ahead. But it's exciting, everything that's going on here.
So far, so good. We're into round two this afternoon. Would like to do some thank yous for those who had given over our break. So we'd like to thank Debbie from St. Henry's in Sandy. Nellie from St. Joseph the Worker in Oregon City. Richard from Holy Redeemer Parish in Vancouver.
Thank you, Richard.
Margaret from St. Henry. Also just prayers for her daughter in Fairview. William and Mina from St. Joseph the Worker in Portland. Bob from St. Joseph the Worker, Portland Gresham. Veronica from Vancouver, Holy Rosary Parish there. Gretchen from Salem, Queen of Peace. Thank you. And Manuel from Holy Redeemer in Camas. Kathleen from St. Joseph's in Salem. And so all of these wonderful donations.
What a list.
That's quite a list.
When the roll is called up yonder, or on the radio, either one. It's good.
It's good. Well, of course, Father Niall joining us in that last hour before we went into break. He was pulling in those parishioners from St. Henry, St. Joseph the Worker. We're so excited. Now this, go ahead.
We've got a special guest this hour, but I want to say this. We are all drawn to names, right? I mean, the name of someone is important, but our guest for this hour, he's got one of my favorite first names, Bishop. Like, his first name is Bishop. You just got to love it when you have a guest and his first name is
perfect,
Bishop.
Because his first name is Bishop and he is Bishop. Okay, we may be getting that confused. Yeah. But it's his next name.
Yeah.
That is even more fantastic, because you think about on this rock, you know, Christ gave the church and let Peter, you know, be our first pope. It's not a pope that we have in here now, but boy, there's a lot of holiness in the room right now.
We could have done worse. Let's just be clear.
Have you had a more painful introduction ever, Bishop Peter Smith?
Good afternoon.
Bishop Peter Smith, our auxiliary bishop here for the Archdiocese.
He hasn't even said a word. He's heading to the door.
Come back.
It's good to be with you all, and good to be with all of you who are listening, either directly or on the live stream, in whatever way that you're hearing this message, and it's good to be with all of you. And in response to that other introduction, what a painful introduction is, I've had worse, believe me. So it's whatever it is, I like to keep introductions simple, just keep it simple to the point, but
welcome.
Obviously, on occasions, we can ham it up and have a good time.
Bishop Peter hamming it up. All right, be ready for this hour. We are so very excited. So today, Bishop Peter, is our Matching Monday. So what we are doing is we are trying to grow this matching fund as much as we can bring in today. So that way, during the rest of the week, with all of those individual goals that we have, we are going to be able to match those with different challenges, dollar for dollar match, everything like that. So we have a goal this hour while you are with us to try to grow this matching fund by $3,000. So $3,000 is our goal. So we are going to clear the slate. Our volunteers are ready to start taking calls. Of course, the internet is always available to our listeners at materdeiradio.com, or open up your smartphone, tap on the Hail Mary Media app, and you have the ability to make that pledge there. So let's get these phones coming. Let's get those dings dinging.
That's exactly right. But four of the special gifts left. That's it. Just four of these.
So now these will be gone this hour. Yeah. I'm sure of it. Because it is the feast day of the Miracle of the Sun, 108th anniversary of the Miracle of the Sun in Fatima. We have had these beautiful wood ornaments. We had 50 of them to start the day for a gift of $50 or more today. But I'm going to really say just this hour, there are only four
just
left.
Just four left, yeah.
Just four left. So those are definitely going to go. So if you want to get one of those, you better start calling now. 888-823-5286. Our Bishop Peter, our auxiliary bishop here for the Archdiocese of Portland, joining us this hour. We are so blessed to have you with us. Bishop Peter, you are just such a strong supporter of Mater Dei Radio. You are always available when we want to have an interview on the morning blend. We want to talk about the charismatic renewal. We want to talk about the feast days in the church. You are always available to us. So thank you so much for being here. What's been keeping you a little busy these days, though?
Busy. I have been run off my feet the last 4+ weeks. I think I calculated that I'd slept in 7 places other than my bedroom over the last 4 weeks with conferences and traveling up and down the Archdiocese to different parishes. So it kind of came to an end last night at about 9 o'clock when I flew back in from Houston. So this is now the dial-down phase, so I'm beginning the dial-down phase today with all of you. Well, I've been in the office this morning. I went in this morning, so. But I went through three conferences, went to the ordination of the new bishop in the Diocese of Baker across the mountains from us, was down in Brookings, was down in Grand Ronde, was down in Eugene at the Newman Center, and just a whole lot of stuff in between. So it was a very busy 4+ weeks.
Wow. Well, we are blessed that you are here joining us today and to help us with this hour. Bishop, we have our theme of this charathon, Rejoice in Hope. And today, especially because of this beautiful feast day, Hope Through Mary. Just kind of give us your words and thoughts on hope and how it is through Mary that we find hope.
Well, the first thing I'd say about hope is our view of hope as Catholics and Christians is very different from what the culture would see it as. You know, we hope the ball club wins tomorrow. We hope we win the World Series or the Super Bowl or whatever it is. We hope for a good result of this or that. But our hope is based on this, what the scriptural hope is. And Paul writes about this frequently in the scriptures, where it's very clear his hope is something that is assured. It's not something that is maybe or maybe not. And that hope comes in Jesus Christ. So Paul's hope is in Christ, and that's assured. You know, so that's the hope that guides us as Catholics and Christians. We have that assured hope in the Lord. And that's one of the virtues that God wants to stir up in us, hope, because it looks to the future and sees a future beyond. This is one of the things I like to say at funerals. This is a time of sadness, but it's also a time of joy, because what hope does is it transforms death. Yeah, we're sad. We grieve the loss of those who we love who are no longer with us. But in Christ, we have that hope looking forward. And so it transcends what's in the culture and or all these other things that we have in our lives that may cause us to despair or lose heart or whatever else the impact they have. And the Blessed Mother is an example of that hope. She placed her hope and her trust in the Lord. And it's real interesting when you look at the angel Gabriel and her response to the angel. When the angel comes, she doesn't say, "Surely not me." She says, "How can this be?" Which is effectively saying, "Show me the way." In other words, there's already a commitment there, a trust and a hope in the Lord and the message of the angel. So she, in a sense, she's already, she's heard it and made that decision, and she's asking the question, a very practical one, but how can this be? Show me the way. Show me how this will come about. And then you see the angel responds to her act of faith and hope, and then explains. And so you see it right from the beginning. She's an example of that, where she places her hope and her trust in the Lord. And when the angel comes to her, it becomes real clear for all of us to see.
Mm. Oh, God, show me that. The way. How can this? I love that, because how often do we think that? We hear of a possibility or a proposal, and you just think, there's no way. That's not going to happen. No way. Yeah, and that's the example we should all take. And Scripture also tells us, you know, I am strengthened through, you know, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. As Mary says, yeah, show me the way. How can this be? Absolutely love that. And it is that message of hope that people are finding right here at Mater Dei Radio. The sun is shining out there, and we know that we're kind of savoring these last nice days before we head into this very long winter and spring with lots of rain. So perhaps you are listening now. Maybe you're sitting in your car. You're watching the kids finish up some practice that's after school. You're getting ready to get home and start that second shift. Well, while you are listening to us today, maybe get out your phone and place that phone call, or just open up the Hail Mary Media app and make your pledge, or go to materdeiradio.com. We are trying to get to this goal of $3,000 for this hour. And as we said, we have assigned every single hour throughout the Share-a-thon. We've got a sheet right here that has them all listed. So we, with Bishop Peter helping us today, we are trying to get to this goal. So what portion can you take? We need somebody to be the first phone call in this afternoon hour. It's been kind of quiet there. I know our volunteers, they're starting to take naps.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's just kind of warm. The sun's kind of keeping it warm in that back room. So let's see if we can't get them to work.
Yeah. And again, we're looking for that catalyst caller. Generosity begets generosity. You think, well, I can only call in a $25 gift. You know what? You know what comes after that $25 gift? A $100 gift. You know what comes after that? A $1,000 gift. That's the way it always happens. If you look back through the history of our calls, almost always before that $1,000 gift comes in, we get a $10 gift. That's just the way it works, brothers and sisters. We need everyone cooperating at all different financial levels in order to make this work. If someone comes in with $1,000, we don't make it. We need somebody coming in with that plus everyone else. I think it's going to take 12 individual gifts to get us to that $3,000 for this hour. So what portion of that can you take? Again, when you multiply it or divide it by 12, all of those gifts, $50, $100, $25, they're all going to add up. God is good with the math. You just need to say yes. God will figure out the number. 888-823-5286. If he's stirring your heart, I'd ask you to make that phone call right now. And no, if you're the first one in, a bunch of others are going to follow you. 888-823-5286. Bishop Peter, we know that most of our experiences in the church are in one parish, or definitely in one area. You really have a unique experience because you're going out to the archdiocese as a whole. What are you hearing about Mater Dei Radio and the role that it plays and kind of in the larger church here in the archdiocese?
Well, before I go there, I'd like to get back to an earlier point that you made when you said, the first call, it may be small, but it's something and gets it going. Mm. Your Mother Teresa was once asked by some journalist who was trying to, I guess, trick her or whatever. Yeah. The journalist said to her, isn't what you're doing just a drop in the bucket?
Mm.
And Mother Teresa said, yes. Mm. But if I didn't put my drop in the bucket would be less full.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And then the other thing that goes with that is the boy with the loaves and the fishes. Mm. The boy came forward and he said, all I have are these loaves and fishes, and how can you feed all these people with that? But the boy was willing to give his loaves and fishes, and Jesus blessed that and multiplied the effect of all that. So you know, even if there's just a small amount that we can afford to give or some way that we can support, God will take that and multiply it, as you said. Mm. So it's just, people shouldn't be afraid. It's just, oh, Lord, this is all I have and this is all I can do. I give the little that I have and the little I can do to you. You take it and do what you want.
Mm. And we rejoice in the yes. I mean, we're just excited. when people say yes, because what they're saying, if you recall, many of our listeners may be familiar with Mother Angelica, the foundress of EWTN, and she would tell people during her live show, remember us between your gas and electric bill. Well, Mother was stating basically they had a fiscal need, so please help us. But she was also explaining kind of a spiritual principle. Look, you've got to take care of your bills. You have to pay for the things that have to do with the body. You have to pay the mortgage, the rent, the car payment, the insurance, the electric bill, the gas bill, the cell phone company now, whatever the case may be. But she was saying right in the middle of that, right in between your gas and electric bill, remember EWTN. In the middle, put something regarding your faith. Every time we spend a dollar, brothers and sisters, we are testifying to the value that we find in that thing. If you go into, like I just did, went into the pantry plaid, is that what, or the plaid pantry?
Plaid pantry up there,
and
yep.
You buy that apple pie for $2.
What did you do?
I bought that little dinky apple pie thing for $2, which I should not have done.
You didn't see those, and don't those tell my pumpkin wife. Cakes
yeah,
that
I
are
missed
out
that.
There, did you?
But I said that little apple pie is worth me investing $2. I find value in that thing. So I gave $2 for that. And I testify to the value that I find in that. Also to the fact that I don't take my health very seriously. But here's the thing. Every time we spend a dollar, we're testifying to the value that we find in that. Testify to the value that you find in Mater Dei Radio, whether that's $5, $10. The dollar amount is not important. It's the yes that's important. It's doing something right in the middle, acknowledging that God has blessed you beyond your absolute need. Give a little something to acknowledge that.
Absolutely. And like that person just picked up the phone, they dialed that number. You also think about it as that's proof of what is important to you. You know, you think about your children watch you.
Yeah.
They see what's important to you. They know that stopping by the little drive-through coffee place in the morning, that's something important to you because you never forget that. They know that watching football on the weekend is important to mom and dad because they never miss those games. Well, shouldn't they also see from you that Mater Dei Radio is something important to you, that your faith is something so precious to you that you will spend your money to support it? So let that also be part of your testimony.
Yeah,
I got to respond to that apple pie piece. I've been sitting here. You do realize, of course, that you probably got your week's worth of food preservatives and everything just in that one food item.
Oh, no doubt about it. It was not a good food choice. But I will say this about the Ned's apple pies there at the Plaid Pantry. They're touched by angels. I'm just saying, it's like it's touched by angels.
Well,
all those
chemicals, you are preserving yourself
right,
very well.
You
that is, you are looking fabulous. Don't let anybody tell you different.
There you go.
888-823-5286. That is the number to call. We have got a phone call in. So that is the person
got that catalyst
who is
call
starting this ball rolling. We have got an hour with Bishop Peter. So take the time during the break. We're going to have some wonderful conversations over the next, about 40 minutes or so, and we're going to get to this $3,000 goal while we are doing that. So go into the break, make your pledge, and then come back, and we've got more time with Bishop Peter. Oh, we are rejoicing. We are laughing. We are full
Bam, there we go.
Of joy here at Mater Dei
And I
Day
ate
Radio.
An apple, an actual one. So everybody
Thank
calm
you.
Down.
Offset that apple pie. Again, I'm sorry apple that pie, you did that as well. But those pumpkin bars were so delicious. Mm. I've had those before. And I just took two, off the bat, because I knew I was going to enjoy those so very, very much. You know, those are the things I think that God gives us to enjoy the life that we are here. We get these little tastes of heaven
pumpkin,
in the...
Pumpkin's
in,
a vegetable.
In squir- it, oh,
yeah, right.
It was health food.
That was health food. So,
I thought they just used it to put in coffee.
That's right.
Also that.
We were looking for 12 individual gifts at the top of the hour. We have two in, so we're still looking for 10. That's either online or the phone ringing.
Yes.
Now, two have come in over the phone. I don't know about online, but hopefully we'll be getting those as well. MaterDeiRadio.com, MaterDeiRadio.com, or on the Hail Mary Media app. So looking for 10 more gifts this hour.
Bishop Peter Smith is joining us today, our auxiliary bishop here in beautiful Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Now, it is kind of late in the year. Have you started getting on that confirmation trail with all of these young people, or is that still kind of maybe something towards the springtime that's coming up?
Yeah, I think we're pretty much done. I know the Archbishop had one to do in the fall sometime. I think he may have completed that one. But just today, got a first request came in for a confirmation in the spring.
Right.
Okay.
So normally we have between the two of us probably four or five before we get to Easter. And then between Easter and Pentecost is when there are a lot of them. We've started combining them. So this year, I think each of us had about 22. The year before, I think we each had about 36.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
So we try to combine them so that they are bigger.
Yeah.
But that also means you can have a confirmation with 100, 120, right. 150. Archbishop had the record last year. I think he had one with 158, I think it was.
Oh, my goodness.
I had one
amazing.
With 153. But it's what we're seeing is more and more kids coming to confirmation. Mm. And I think part of that's the age going down, mm-hmm. but part of it is also there seems to be a renewed interest in faith among young people today. We're starting to see it showing up all over the place.
Well, and again, it's a place where the archdiocese is leading the way, right? Lowering the age, and now other dioceses are starting to follow that because there is wisdom in that, and there's tradition in that. You go
Absolutely.
Historically, it matches back up. So that's
the other thing you see where there's a growth in faith or people seeking faith is what we've seen over the last 3 years with the rite of election.
Mm.
So 3 years ago, we had, I think, about 750. Last year, we had 1,000. This year, we had 1,200 plus.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, it's more and more folks coming to join the church. And in this part of the world, you wouldn't
right.
see it in the Midwest, but in this part of the world, at least 50% of those people are being baptized.
Are being baptized,
yeah.
So they're not even, they're coming into the church as unbaptized people. Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
You're talking about coming into the kingdom, period. Like, they've not had any introductory sacraments at all.
Yeah, when I lived in the Midwest, I lived in South Bend, Indiana, and Minneapolis, Minnesota. When people would join the church, it was a rarity for people to be baptized. They usually had some faith background to them. But here, at least 50%... are getting baptized, and sometimes you see an entire family coming.
My goodness. Now, I run what's called now OCIA.
Right.
Look, if you don't like that acronym, wait 5 years. We're going to change
it. We'll change it to something else.
But in any case, OCIA, and we have 18 candidates in a small parish that I'm involved in. We have one who's not baptized. All the others, to your point, are all baptized. So
a year ago, Father John Henderson, who's the pastor of St. Anthony's in Tigard, he had 81 baptisms at his Easter Vigil.
My
through,
God.
81.
Wow.
Praise
it's
God.
Just
that's great.
Amazing. Yep. So I...
81 baptisms.
My future daughter-in-love, I like to call
daughter
her.
Daughter-in-love. That's
She's
fabulous.
She's a wonderful, wonderful young lady.
Oh my
she
goodness. How beautiful is this?
Entering into the church.
Praise God.
As an unbaptized person.
Oh, as unbaptized.
So at Easter Vigil, she will, God willing, she'll be able to receive her sacraments. And then... just 1 week later, she has seen something, you know, in her mind to decide to marry my son, which, you know, we have to have her checked out before we do that. But she is willing to do that. But here's what we have been doing in our household. We have all been taking turns going with her to OCIA classes. We're all excited. Then I come back on the morning show and I talk about what we've learned. Here's what I was so amazed at some of these people. In fact, really most of them. They're so impatient.
Mm.
And it's the good kind. It's like that yearning.
Right. So
like
eager.
This young lady, she's like, can't I please just get into confession? Mm. She needed. And what it reminded me of is here I think about, I walk in on Sundays like, I should go. Oh, the line's long.
Yeah, right.
I got to get in line because I've got to confess these. This woman had something so heavy on her heart, she could not wait to get into reconciliation. And that was the word was patience. They're like, the teacher was like, I know that this is on your heart. You want to receive, you want to be entered, you want to receive Jesus. Patience. And I thought to myself, I am not the prodigal son. I am the son that stayed. I have had it my whole life. And I don't know that I've ever seen or felt that impatience. Maybe during COVID. Maybe it was when I felt that, like, I am missing this, and I am impatient for the time when I can receive again. Boy, to have that, you see these young people standing up, eager, wanting to receive that beautiful sacrament. I mean, that fills me with hope, because I've raised four children. They have crazy ideas sometimes, and they do things that you're like, what were you thinking? Yeah, right. But then you see them come to the altar with the saints that they have picked out, that they have been studying. And boy, you're 150. That's your arms probably get very kind of tired by the end of an evening like that.
Well, it takes a while.
Mm. It does.
That's when you have an Easter vigil that goes for quite a length of time. When I was in the Midwest, there was a priest there who from a religious community. He took a break after doing all the baptisms and everything else so people could get changed, get ready, and then we proceeded with the rest of the ceremony, rest of the rites of initiation.
You think about that, 750, you said 753 years ago, we're at 1250 this year. That's a 70% increase in 3 years. Now, here's the thing, because it's happening all over the world, by the way. We're seeing it in France, we're seeing it in England, we're seeing it all over the United States of America. Don't you think, the scripture says, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And we have been griping about the darkness that surrounds us. And it's dark.
Sure.
Look, there's plenty of difficulties. But if we're living in an unprecedented time of sin, aren't we also living in an unprecedented time of grace? And could this be the fruit of that thing? And we're cursing the darkness. You know, as the Christophers used to say, you know, light a candle. Forget the whole cursing the darkness. Go out and shine the light, because the opportunity is in front of us.
100% agree with you with that comment from the Christophers. I heard that many years ago. I've never forgotten it. Because it's so easy to look at all the evil around us. But when you're looking at all the evil and bemoaning it or cursing it, where are your eyes?
Amen.
On the evil and not on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we need to have our eyes on Jesus Christ as we go through all of this. And there's nothing the devil likes more. It's the expression, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. So suddenly you're looking all over here and you take your eyes off the compass. Now, of course, today we have GPS, but they have GPS spoofers and things.
Yeah.
But in the old day, you had a compass. If you got a degree off at your beginning point, you know, 10 miles downrange, you're a mile off.
Amen.
And this is part of the challenge we have, is to keep our eyes on Jesus in the midst of all the darkness. And the other thing to remember is we should have hope. We were talking about hope earlier on. We should have hope, because in the end, we have the victory. Jesus has won the victory for us. I like to remind people that the incarnation through Pentecost is like the decisive moment in human history. It's like World War II. Decisive moment was the invasion of Normandy. When that happened and they secured it, the war was over.
Right.
But you had a year's worth of fighting going on and a lot of pain and suffering. And we're in that phase where Jesus has won the victory for us 2,000 years ago. And we have to now go through the rest of this until the end of time.
But we're living in that.
Until our time comes when the Lord says, all right.
Yeah, amen. And we're always thinking about that future victory. We're part of the victory. It's happening. It's already, as you said, the beaches of Normandy have already been, we've already taken those beaches and we're making progress. Here's the thing. We have 25 minutes left in this hour. $3,000 is our goal. It's our need. St. Teresa of Calcutta, you quoted her earlier, God's work done in God's time never lacks God's provision. We believe that we're going to raise that $3,000. We believe there's going to be a bell ringing. We believe there's going to be big gifts and little gifts. Here is the question, brother. Here's the question, sister. Do you want to be a part of it? There we go. Bells will be ringing. There you go. All right.
I like this one better.
Ring a ding ding, ring a ding ding, ring a ding ding.
Bam! There you go. That's
I
a little
like
Frank
that.
For you. Yeah.
Boy, that is definitely what we needed to get us lifted. How exciting that is. That means a substantial gift has come in.
Beautiful.
And we will await to see what our update is. So that's going to get us well on our way. And boy, you should probably definitely, we're going to try to find out how many of these ornaments there are left for the Feast Day of Our Fatima, Our Lady of Fatima, the miracle of the sun. Thousands and thousands of people were witness to that very beautiful event. Rolando, well, you started off with like a sweater this morning and everything, and it's just the excitement is building so much.
It's getting warm, isn't it?
Yep.
Definitely. I'd like to offer a few thank yous. Coming in here, I believe it's Danavive from St. Philip in Redland, inspired by Bishop Peter, and asked for prayers for her son to marry good, solid Catholic women.
Praise God. Awesome. Gotta love that. Thank you so much.
And then also Nancy from St. Joseph the Worker in Tyler, Texas. So
my goodness, what? Tyler what? Coming in strong. That's the third one from Tyler, Texas.
Thank you so
much. Who do we
much,
know in Tyler?
I don't know. Wait, the word is out about Mater Dei Radio in Tyler, Texas. Here's the thing. You guys might know this story. So the Franciscans, you have St. Francis of Assisi and St. Clair.
Got it.
And they got the monks and the sisters together for a prayer meeting up on the mountain, up at St. Clair's monastery,
okay,
which was a little outside of town. And the townspeople see that while they're gathered up there, there's a fire. And they literally go up to put the fire out. True, documented. They go up to put the fire out at the monastery. It's not a fire. It's the Holy Spirit setting the place ablaze because you've had St. Francis there, you have St. Clair there, and all of the monks and all the sisters praying in the Holy Spirit. And I'm just telling you, I think the studio's kind of set ablaze. If you see the fire trucks coming, I'm saying just flag them down. Say, no, we're just worshiping the Lord up in here. It's okay.
All right, we just have two of those ornaments left. Next two phone calls, $50 or more, and you are going to get this beautiful Our Lady of Fatima ornament. So that way you can hang that on the Christmas tree this year. Let your family know that where your treasure is, where you have love, where you have support for Mater Dei Radio. You know, speaking of the Holy Spirit just being ablaze, Bishop Peter, part of your work too has to do with the charismatic renewal. You were recently in Houston partaking in a conference there. How was that going for you? That was a special appointment for you. Are you still working around the world for the charismatic renewal?
Well, I've been doing most of my work here in the U.S., but also on the international level with Karis. After Cardinal Cantalamessa retired, Pope Francis appointed me as the ecclesiastical advisor. The conference I was just in this weekend in Houston was the annual Catholic Charismatic Renewal Conference for English speakers. And they had it at a center in Houston, the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Center there, which is... It's a huge facility. I mean, you could probably put 1,500 to 1,800 people in that church without even squeezing in. Mm. And the music there was just awesome. Mass was 2 hours long, and we had to cut it short because I had to get a ride to the airport. We were just joking. I think I preached like 35 minutes in there. And after communion, it was wonderful because normally after communion, we do sort of praise and worship meditation style. John Michael Talbot was there as well.
Oh, my goodness.
So he came, and one evening he gave some teaching and also sang some of his music. And so he was there. There were a bunch of other people there. But after communion, the praise and worship there went for about 10 to 15 minutes. It was just very, very powerful, very moving for a lot of people. There were lots of healings that happened, a lot of people just really experiencing the Lord in a deeper way. That was part of what we wanted to do. Was I had to give a talk on ongoing Pentecost, because our life of faith is always ongoing. As Archbishop Sample likes to say in the Archdiocese here, he wants every Catholic to have a life-giving, ongoing, transformative relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what we're trying to do. And so... the conference was just a great, great blessing. The pastor of this place, oh my goodness, this guy had so much energy. I think I was joking with some of the other priests there that if we could harness his energy, we'd probably power the city of Houston for a week. Man, when I get going in those settings, I can be a pretty enthusiastic preacher, but I paled in insignificance compared to this guy. Father Jorge Alvarado, wonderful guy. Just on fire for the Lord and on for the church.
But you're the successor of Cardinal Cantalamessa? He held the office you're holding now before you.
He
also preacher to the papal household.
That's a separate office. So,
oh, okay.
So Father Cardinal Cantalamessa was appointed. Interesting story. He was appointed by Pope St. John Paul in 1980 as the preacher to the papal household for a term of 5 years, which continued for 44 years. So he was for all the rest of John Paul's papacy, all but 2 years, then through Benedict, and then until 2023, late 2023, he asked Pope Francis to retire. He just turned 91.
My goodness.
And now he's in his friary outside of Rome. That's where he lives, and he doesn't do much now.
But he held the office you're holding now before you did.
Yeah, when Pope Francis established Charis, which is the sort of, not a governing body, but a body for the worldwide Catholic charismatic renewal.
Mm.
And so he appointed Father Cantalamessa as the ecclesiastical advisor. So I was on that. I was appointed as a rep for North America. Yeah. But then after 4 years, the term came due and half of us stepped off because we didn't want to have everybody terming off after two terms at the same time. And at that elective assembly, he announced that he would be stepping back. And about 3 months later, I got a letter from Cardinal Farrell, who heads the Dicastery of Laity, Marriage, and Life, saying that the Holy Father had appointed me.
I love that how it wasn't we are asking you. It was to Gabriel that this is happening to you. And as you follow Mary in her words, you're like, well, all right, show me the way to do that.
Some guys who appointed bishops have very interesting stories about this. Mm. Technically, they should ask you, do you accept?
Mm.
But that do you accept is based on a presumption that you will. I mean, I know one bishop who told me, he said to the nuncio, well, can I have time to pray? And he said, sure, I'll wait on the phone. And another guy was telling us that when he got appointed, it was, can I pray? And he said, sure, I'll call back in an hour.
You got 1 hour to pray.
That's right.
Well, you know what? We've got 1 hour with Bishop Peter Smith to get to this goal, $3,000. Now, we did hear that bell ring.
Yeah.
We are waiting for the update. So I'll tell you what, we're going to go into the break. We are going to allow you the opportunity to make your pledge by calling in 888-823-5286. Go online to materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com. Or I'm sure you already have the Hail Mary media app. So why don't you grab your smartphone, just make that pledge, and then come back after the break. We'll get you an update and we'll climb the rest of this hill here at Mater Dei Radio. Got a little bit of joy, a little bit of hope. They're all reminding me of what a bad Catholic I am, because I'm trying to name the saints in the Eucharistic prayer, and I right off the bat got them wrong. So, yeah, I'll have to just keep going to Mass on Sundays and maybe have to pick up a few daily weekday Masses as well. We are full of joy this afternoon. We are so glad, our listeners, you are joining us today. Just twice a year, we break from our regular program. We know that typically at this time, we would be listening to Catholic Answers. For so many people, that was the show that got people listening to Catholic radio. In fact, I had a great opportunity back kind of late springtime. I stopped over. I was visiting my son, who was at Camp Pendleton, and their president invited me, said, come on down when we're here. So I went over there. I met with Cy Kellett. He goes, hey, you have a question? Do you want to come on the show? And I went, I think I could come up with a question for sure. And in fact, at that time, it was May, the governor of Washington had just signed the law that would require priests and bishops to break the seal of confession to report abuse. Turns out, I just saw the report over the weekend. The state of Washington is backing off that lawsuit. It is going to go away because, boy, we were not going to stand for that. But that's the kind of attack that the Catholic Church is under right here in the Pacific Northwest. And I think it's more important now than ever that we have a Mater Dei Radio to be able to let that information be known, so that way we have an opportunity to engage as Christ would want us to. When there is indifference in the world, when the church is being attacked, we have got to stand firm. And that is what we do here at Mater Dei Radio.
Bishop Peter, you're talking about this earlier. Count it all joy, right? I mean, that's the thing. Like, you, I'm not saying we want the persecutions, but if you look 2,000 years of history, we do best with a little persecution. You can look at Nigeria right now. 95% mass attendance in Nigeria. 17% in the United States of America. They're dying in Nigeria, by the way. They come in, they break in, and they kill everybody in the church. So you're having priests killed, you're having nuns killed, yet they have a 95% mass attendance among Catholics in Nigeria. Why? The faith is tested, and they know when they decide to become Catholic, you might be doing it at the cost of your life.
Well, Africa is the central point for the growth of the Catholic Church. If you look, the Catholic Church worldwide, Africa followed by Asia, are the real hotspots, and then Latin America after that. But that's where Catholicism is growing rapidly. The demographic center of Catholicism is in Africa right now. It's shifted over there from Latin America over the last couple of decades. But that's where you see this explosive growth going on. And you see thousands, hundreds of thousands of people becoming Catholics. You see huge growth in the religious orders. You see a huge growth in the priesthood. But people are making do with very little there.
Yeah.
You know, you go online, there are a number of African priests, there's several that I follow on social media. And here's this guy, he's going out into this village in the middle of nowhere, and there's a little shack that's there with a folding table, and he's offering mass. And out in front, you get like 200, 300, 400 people sitting down, and they walk for miles to get there. So there's a real... they have real faith, and it's helping sustain them amidst the challenges of life. You know, we sit here and start whining and complaining about things. Sometimes we say, this is persecution. It's like, no. I mean, the Christians and Catholics in northern Nigeria, when all the Boko Haram and these guys come, that's persecution. Or the Christians that were in Iraq and the Middle East under ISIS and those guys, that's persecution.
Yeah, I love the story out of the Soviet Union before the fall. There was a story about a couple of monks that came over and told the story about soldiers showing up at a private gathering, mass, the secret. And the soldiers busted in and said, deny Christ and get out of here and you can live. But if you stay here, you're going to die. So a bunch of the people left. And then when those people had left, the soldiers came in, put their guns down, and said, okay, now that the real Christians are here, let's continue on with our mass. So, you know, that was it. Are you willing to lay down your life for it or not? And we might not have to do it in the same way, but we're doing it in small ways, and we need to be ready to do that.
You know, I can't help think, too, when we look at where our church is, we are so excited. The first American Pope Leo. And, you know, maybe that's part of this influx that people in the United States realize that faith can be found right here. True faith in the leadership of the Catholic Church can be found here in the United States. And I think that is also part of why we're seeing so many people now entering the faith, asking questions, finding out what it is, tuning into Catholic radio, tuning into Catholic Answers. They have a question. And what I am always amazed, and even in all the years that I have been listening to Catholic radio, I've been listening to Catholic Answers, the questions that people ask, I'm like, first of all, what is the answer? Secondly, I would have never thought to ask that question, and I am intrigued, right?
Look, here's the thing. Bells will be ringing. Let's just say that. I think we got a bell ringer. I'm pretty sure that's happening. Now, the second thing is we need to get to that goal. And then Bishop Peter, because Father
Niall
said, there's that bell ringing.
There's that bell. He knew it would be coming.
That Bishop Peter would be singing Oh Danny Boy. But first, ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding. Bam! First Frank is singing.
That is another bell ringer.
Yeah, that's two bell ringers.
I I'm not sure if Father Niall was allowed to offer up the singing skills. He seemed, he kind of laughed and then he walked straight out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, Bishop Peterson's going to sing, I'm out.
I thought, well, okay.
All right.
Maybe he has the authority to boss the bishop around. I don't know. I wasn't going to question
those Irish priests, they take liberty from time to time, I have a feeling. That is really exciting. Rolando, boy, this afternoon, we never quite know when the sun comes out. It's late in fall. We're trying to make the most of these beautiful days, and people are responding today, this afternoon.
Right.
You got more thank yous.
A couple of thank yous here. Linda from St. Francis in Sherwood loves modern day radio and would like to pray family there that lost their house and their daughter.
Fire. We've been praying as well.
Ooh. Also like to thank Tony from St. Mary's in Mount Angel. And longtime listener, and their prayer request is for fallen away Catholics to come home.
That's such a pain for families.
And then just a quick correction on one of my last updates. That is Danielle from St. Philip in Redland, who was inspired by Bishop Peter.
Thank you so very much.
That is so exciting. So now with all of those thank yous, we've got 4 minutes left. Rolando's going to run out and get us an update.
Yeah, we need
we are very close. We cannot stop yet, though.
I know.
We've just got 4 minutes left. We have got to get to this. You know, Bishop Peter does have to answer to Archbishop Sample.
Right.
And Archbishop Sample is going to ask them, all right, I sent you out, Bishop Peter. How did you do? And we want to be able to allow Bishop Peter to go back and say, I got it. I got us covered. The bishops are covered for the hour at Mater Dei Radio. But as of right now, we're not there yet.
Boy,
would that be embarrassing? Would he take away your bishop's cross if...
No, I'm afraid he can't do that.
He can't do that, huh? But he might frown a little bit. We don't want that to happen at all.
Well, we had a great 1.5 hour conversation this morning about all kinds of things, especially a lot of spiritual stuff. So,
okay,
we're pretty cool with each other right now.
All right.
That's good. We have been for a long time.
All right.
Actually, before we just go on, you mentioned the prayer request and the family that you were praying for. I'd add one more. It's several years ago, I anointed and prayed with a little boy. He was probably about 3.5 years old who had brain cancer, and there was no hope for him. And either through medicine or the prayers and the anointing or both, the cancer went into remission. But he's now 6, I believe, and it's come back.
Mm. Okay.
So I told the person who informed me of this that we would put the word out. Mm. So his name is Miles. So Miles is this little boy. Mm. And when I was anointing him, it just my heart went out to this little boy because he saw me come. I took out the oils, and he just said, no pokey pokey, which means obviously all the needles.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And it took us about 10 minutes to calm him down, and then I anointed him and prayed with him, and he was fine. But just if you have a spare minute or two in your prayer, pray for Miles, who has brain cancer, and the doctors say that there's nothing more they can do.
All right. Well, we will pray for the intercession of St. Peregrine to be with him, to be with that family. We offer them our prayers of consolation, that their hearts be calm, that they have faith and know that God has this. No matter what the outcome is, life always wins at the end. And whether we have those family and friends with us now or we will see them again in heaven, that is where we want to be with them. Mm. That is for sure. So we have got just a few more minutes. We want to get one more update. All right, Rolando.
Yeah, I would just like to thank Dan and Lynn from St. Pius for their
gift.
Thank you so very much. All right, so we have just got a few more minutes left, and we are trying to get there. 1 minute
all
left.
All right, there we go.
1 minute left.
Got
there's one more
gift.
Dinging. All right, Rolanda's going to run out, and hopefully we'll be able to get that update. I think we're going to have to get through the break.
Curtis gave me an update. We have... We did have. We're over the top.
We're over the top. All right. There we go.
Fast typing happening here.
I like that.
Thank you.
What a wonderful, right? Always at the last moment.
Is Bishop Peter going to sing?
I'll offer you a deal.
Okay. We'll take a deal.
Either I'll sing or I'll give the blessing.
Oh, we'll take the blessing.
We'll take the blessing.
There's no competition on that one.
For sure.
I can't sing Oh Danny Boy, by the way.
I bet.
Well, let's turn to the Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for the way you watch over us and bless us. We thank you for this hour. We thank you for the hearts that you've moved with generosity. And Lord, we just ask you to bless all those who support the work of Mater Dei Radio and this apostolate. And may your blessing, Father, come upon all those who are listening and who will listen. And we ask this now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
What a beautiful blessing. But you know what? We still have 30 seconds left. He could still sing. There's still time.
Do you know that song?
Oh, Danny. No, I have to get the key right. Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling.
That's all. That's
enough.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling.
Ooh, there you go.
I like
oh,
it.
Oh, we got the blessing there and the go. Old Danny boy. So there we go.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Bishop Peter. What a wonderful hour. You bless us with your presence. Thank you so very much for being with us this afternoon.